I am Fawn.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids, wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Our Friendly World.
Hello.
Fawn and Matt. Hello.
Hello.
We have a guilty pleasure.
Oh, dear. Not me, folks.
So at night, at the end of the day, Matt, the kids, and I have, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, Matt, but we watch a show called Love is Blind, but we watch other countries, and then we watch them in different languages, so there are subtitles, but so we can learn different languages. And it's really funny, and it's a good opportunity, I think, to have discussions, especially with the kids, more so for the kids, because there's so much that I now understand that I didn't understand when I was in my teens and even my 20s and early 30s even. I didn't, you know, there are certain things I wish I had mentors, and I wish I was in a state of mind where I could receive information, like receive advice, right? So it's a way for us to watch some hideous situations because, I mean, it's a reality show, but it's everything you should be talking about anyway, like why relationships fail or why this thing seems like a freight train, the situation, you know? Like, I remember True. I had certain friends and I'm like, oh, what do you think of so-and-so? And Matt would say, oh, that's a freight train right there. I'm like, oh, what?
How rude.
And then I had to step away from it and I understood why you said what you said. And then certain people, you would tell me, be very careful what you say to this person because they're teetering. I'm like, what do you mean? I learned to judge certain situations. I didn't have that perspective before. I didn't have that knowing. I didn't have experience really to understand other people because I was still trying to understand myself. So we watch these shows. We'll pause it, laugh, and explain what's really happening. So the kids learn from someone else's experience rather than having to go through that themselves. So when they're like, oh, I'll never end up in that situation, I'm like, careful. Because I used to say stuff like that. And then I would find myself in that situation.
Right.
You know, whatever it is. It's good to talk about these things. And it's away from you so you're not so attached to it. So you do learn the lessons. Anyway, so that's why we watch Love is Blind. We were watching the other day. I pressed pause. I'm like, all right, guys, these people want to connect and they think that their relationship is meant to be. Why? And I was saying, look, they have trauma. They both have similar trauma. They both were left by their parents at an early age. They both had to go find another home when they were in the, like, how old were they? 13, 14?
Something like, yeah.
Like, really young. They both had similar major disappointments and struggles. And for them to go, oh, this happened to you. This happened to me. Oh, you were left at this age. I was left at that age. Oh, you don't have a mom. I don't have a mom. Do you know what I'm saying? And
yes.
They're like, oh, we're so meant to be. And I paused it and I said, listen, kids, that right there, what they think is meant to be. Help me explain this, Matt, because what I was saying was I used a term that you shouldn't use because I didn't know. I said the word trauma. And then our youngest said, oh my God, they're trauma bonding. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And then you said, oh no, be careful. That is actually a clinical term.
There's two different definitions. And the more out there definition is a very hectic thing.
Yeah, it is. So trauma bonding describes a bond that forms in abusive or coercive cycles. So loyalty to the abuser despite harm. So no, we're not going to use that.
We're not talking about that.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about shared wound relationships, shared wound friendships, co-rumination, familiarity, comfort, stuck in sorrow networks is what we're talking about. Because you're using that as a way to say to yourself, oh, we have so much in common. But do you really want your life to be that? Like, I'm not a huge fan of constantly going to a psychotherapist and discussing the same thing over and over again without any resolve,
right,
without a way to actually come to a conclusion and heal from it and move on.
Right.
And I found that a lot of them, from my perspective, just say the same thing over and over again. You're just talking about the same wound over and over again. You're bringing it up again. You're reopening the wound instead of healing the wound, figuring out where the source is,
mm-hmm,
and moving on.
Right.
It does not have to take years. That's my belief. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the therapist. Go to the therapist. They are helpful. But you have to be careful who you go to, I've noticed.
Well, you just have to be careful, period.
Yeah.
We're living in an age of everybody's an expert.
They're labeled as an expert.
I have to wonder.
Yeah, right. So we want to talk about shared wound friendships, the rumination, familiarity, comfort, stuck in sorrow networks. Shall we start? I mean...
Oh, dear. Here it comes, folks.
Because, I mean, okay. So one of the other things I wanted to say was, if you're going to get together and base a relationship or friendship just on what you have in common, first of all, I don't think that's feasible because you're ever evolving and changing.
Yes.
So if that's all that is your foundation, it's not very stable because you're both going to change.
True. But friendships have to start somewhere.
I understand, but basing everything on that as your only means of like, oh, we're so meant to be.
Yes.
Because you have similar
pain.
Pain, yeah. It's kind of like going to the therapist in a way where you just keep hashing the same thing out over and over and over again. One, it's boring. Two, is it getting you anywhere?
Right.
For example, Matt is looking for work. I'm looking for work.
So
Matt has a buddy that he's always talking to who's also like was laid off at the same time. And I get mad every time you talk to him, Matt, because I'm like, Matt, surround yourself with people that are successful. Surround yourself with someone who is not going through the same pain you are, but is thriving and creative and feels optimistic and isn't going through hardship right now, because you're already experiencing that in your mind and the whole house is experiencing it. We're all experiencing it.
Right.
And we're all stuck in it. We need to get out. So you need to have a different perspective. You need to be around people who have work, who are experiencing major financial wealth and money coming in. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I just feel like you have to be really careful.
You do. You absolutely have to be really careful. And I am really careful. It's not all the time.
Yeah, but my desk is right next to you,
mm-hmm,
and it's a good hour of that.
Sometimes.
And the tone and the words that I'm kind of overhearing by accident, because I have my headphones on, I'm mm-hmm trying to do other things.
Right.
But I hear your tone, I hear the vibration, and it's not uplifting, Matt. I'm like, that's a good hour of your time. What good is that doing you? And then there's the whole after effect of a conversation like that. It carries on. You can't just, I can't. I mean, maybe you can. I can't just break it off and be unaffected by it as I go through my day. I'll keep thinking about it. So, I mean, who are the majorly creative people that you're spending a whole good hour, focused hour with? You know what I'm saying? Why is the focused hour on that?
I spend more time at the gas station, for goodness sake.
Yeah, but that's not always great either. There are some people who like fall off cliffs and I don't know what.
There is Jack. He did fall off a mountain.
I'm just saying, Are they like coders? Are they trying to create something that's of benefit to society in the coding world? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I absolutely do. But I am very careful. And I've been through, we've been through trauma of a whole different kind of dimension.
Yeah, and that's bad enough because you and I have the same trauma. Now we're like bonded by all of that history. And it's kind of nice because you don't have to explain where you're coming from to someone. They just know. So if you're bonding with someone who's had similar experiences, it's kind of nice not to have to explain to your person,
right,
or your friend or whoever it is, mm-hmm, what happened. So in a way, you're not reliving that thing.
Right.
But then you're continuing that bubble wherever you go. And I'm not a fan of that. I'd much rather be with someone with a completely different experience than I've had,
mm-hmm,
and move on and create a different way. Keep growing, keep evolving, keep right, transforming, rather than staying in that rut.
Yes.
So all this comes from a reality dating show of like, look at that. They think they're soulmates because they have had similar problems. And that makes them soulmates? No. Be careful with friendships and relationships. And work situations, I guess, right?
Yes.
Because Matt's now staring at me. So practical tips to offer. Mix your community. Keep some friends who deeply understand your pain and some who model resilience or like totally different life rhythms.
And that's exactly what I'm doing.
You, well, who? There's Mr. Wizard.
Absolutely, there's Mr. Wizard.
See, I don't really have that many people, so I don't know. I'm kind of like stuck in my own myopic world at the moment. So another tip is to set purposeful hangouts. Let's say you are with fellow quote unquote survivors. Have some meetups about learning or doing like, I don't know, like yoga, pottery, like walking groups.
Right. Absolutely.
It's more than just processing.
Right.
You have an activity and then you can have like a shifting of energy while you talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that. As a matter of fact, my former coworker who's got laid off at the same time, you know, I do offer up and I'm like, hey, if you're working on this thing or trying to learn this thing, ping me and we can go through just
that. But you're
that.
The one who's offering all of this. Are you getting it in return?
And this has been now, this is a theme that I'm starting to feel in my life. I'm just being very careful. It seems like I end up giving a lot more than I get.
And this... But happens a lot. Like we always talk about this, Matt. You and I have.
I've had those relationships where I've gotten way more than I've given.
Really?
Yeah, they were a very long time ago, but they did exist. So it's a tricky thing, really trying to quantify it.
Okay, I'm not going to get stuck and argue. So we're going to limit. My suggestion is to limit co-rumination. Notice the conversations that replay the trauma or the bad stuff,
mm-hmm,
that come without solutions. And then if that happens, steer toward coping strategies or gratitude and share an uplifting moment. The trouble with this is it seems like this is usually one-sided. Like it's like when we talk to your family, Matt, it feels like we're the only ones doing this. Like bringing up something that's more uplifting. You've always said this, like you are the one who's offering something new.
Right.
And the other side is not.
Right.
Ever.
Ever.
And it's such a downer.
It can be, yes. And that's why I eventually get to a place where anything they say I'm going to clown on, or I'm going to try and inspire a different thought around.
It's exhausting because they'll just take and take and they just drop it into the trash can. Like I have had, again, your family ask me in depth, like, oh, what can you help us to be vegan? Can you help us like come up with some vegan dishes? And what do you suggest for healing this thing through food?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take that. I used to take that seriously for right, them. And I would spend hours putting things together for mm-hmm, them and writing things down and then sharing it with them. Come to understand that they didn't really want it. It was just a talking point. They were trying to impress something on me that they to make it seem like they're interested in what I have to say. But it wasn't that at all. They didn't use any of that information.
Yes.
And they pretty much just threw it all away.
Yep.
And wasted hours of my time. And now I'm cynical because the next person who asked me for advice like that, I'm just like, whatever, I don't know, Google it, which is the big no-no. Because people used to say that to us, like when we met people, we're like, oh, how do you travel with a baby like that? Because when we, remember we had, we just had Elle. And we met another couple who had a baby 2-3 months older, but they were always on the plane traveling. Sorry, that's my phone. My email. And we asked them, how do you do it? And they told us to Google it. And we're like, okay, that was when stuff like that happened, we said to ourselves, they're not a friend.
Right.
That's like, those are kind of like fighting words for us.
Right. Even if they just said something silly like, make sure you bring favorite stuffy on the plane. Or if you ask the stewardess X, Y, and Z, oftentimes you can get A, B, and C. That's it. I wasn't looking for, so this is everything you need to do in one 30-minute conversation. Allow me to start monologuing.
Okay, guys, I just got an audition, so I have to leave in a few minutes. So let's just like,
oh dear,
zip through it. Okay, you ready? There you go. Limit the co-rumination.
And try and do something different.
Seek growth-oriented relationships. People who have done different challenging things can offer new coping tools and perspectives. Another one is therapy or peer support groups with trained facilitators, where healing is guided and reframing is encouraged.
And this would be in a situation where you feel like you cannot deal with whatever it is that's in front of you, and you're not dealing with whatever's in front of you.
And that's, I feel like that's easier to leave behind because, okay, you spend an hour there and then you walk away from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Boom, done. And then, you know, there's one other thing. Like, I was listening to this guy talk about how your brain has a turn-off switch for stress. And the turn-off switch is wonder. So, and he was using the example of being chased by a tiger. And you're running and the tiger is chasing you. And you turn and you look and it's about to pounce on you.
Mm-hmm.
What if you wonder, like, well, he said that actually this wouldn't help me because it wouldn't take me out of the stress. But he said, what if you wondered all of a sudden, I wonder how much he weighs? For me, I'm like, oh, if I think that, if I wonder about his weight, I'm thinking about how much weight and force and speed
right.
together is combined on him, like pouncing on me.
Right.
But like, I wonder how many hairs are on his body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that takes you away from the stress. Because
right, but that's a different kind of stress, and that's a different kind. It's a very visceral, very
stress
everything.
Is stress, though.
Hold on. You have offered up as a strategy once upon a time to just take a moment and revel in the wonder that surrounds us, like a tree. How is it formed exactly like that?
Right.
How many blades of grass are there in a square foot? You know, we can go on and on. How is, you know, is every snowflake different? Huh. Well, why do snowflakes look the way they do? And there's a billion little things you can ask questions about. Like, wow, that cloud up in the sky, that kind of looks like, you know, Marilyn Monroe or whatever.
Right.
And that can start to take you away from where you're at. Stoics are big on that as a coping strategy, too.
I learned that from Abraham Hicks. When you're feeling like you don't have enough money or you're feeling poor, you start thinking of other things like, look at how much there is out there. So if you're feeling like there's not enough money, right? There's not enough of whatever you want. And you look, you're like, look at how many blades of grass exist in front of me right now. Like the amount.
The abundance.
The amount, the number of blades of grass. I can't think of anything because I'm thinking about going to the audition now. Freaking out. Okay, so there's that. Okay, so, but which leads us to practice curiosity instead of comparison. So asking people about their interests not just their pain.
Which is, once again, what I am doing with my my former coworker.
Okay.
I am doing this thing. I know.
Yeah, but I want you to do it with someone else. Someone who's not in the same situation
right.
you are.
Right, absolutely. And that's why I very much limit my exposure.
But why do it in the first place? An hour. Religiously, every week. Is it every day?
No.
Are you sure?
I think
I
would
be.
I think I would be sure. It is not every day. We do go different places. We do talk different things. Okay.
Okay. Well, okay. So doing this podcast episode today to just remind you, just because you meet people with the same experiences doesn't mean that's your soul person. Soul as in like, oh, my soulmate, soul friend. You know what I mean? Soulmate friend.
Soulmate, whatever. Soulmate friend is someone you connect to on many different levels, not just on, and perhaps it shouldn't be on the same kind of trauma levels.
I mean,
there should be more to it. Gosh darn it.
Wouldn't it be great if it was someone you're like, oh, you've been experiencing major bouts of joy and freakish laughter? Me too. You know, like positive things instead of the negative.
Right.
Like, oh, wait, you also won the jackpot lottery? Me too. Oh, you also figured out this thing? Me too. How did you figure it out? Do you know what I'm saying? There's a difference than, oh, you also are laid off? Me too. Or, you know what I'm saying?
I want to go. Completely understand what you're saying.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be preachy. I'm done.
Okay.
Do you have anything else to say? I talked for most of today.
Not at all. Just make sure that the friendships that you have are healthy and growing and not just rooted in one place or in one thought. That's all.
And we all experience trauma, all of that. Definitely get yourself help for that. Find the right people to help you move through it and not be stuck in it. Change is always happening. Nothing stays static. Nothing. Nothing. So we're experiencing hard times, and I have to keep reminding myself we're going to move through it. And it's hard because the panic attacks set in, and I have to remove myself and go make myself go stand on some dirt and cry or listen to some piece of music, something, anything, and I have to do it over and over and over and over again throughout the day. One time isn't going to do it. I meditate a lot. Meditating in the morning, great, but then, you know, it's throughout the day, and I can't, just because I meditated doesn't mean it's going to change everything. I have to stay in that mode. So you have to do it. So don't feel discouraged because you have to keep doing it. This is what I was trying to tell our kids today. They're like, nothing's working. I've meditated. I'm breathing. Nothing is helping. I give up. I'm like, well, you have to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say, oh, I did 3 ohms and I did box breathing, but, you know, it didn't help. You have to keep doing it, and you have to get some help for the things that aren't going away, or you feel like you need someone to help you carry something. Get help for it. I gotta go. Oh my God, I'm sorry, you guys. All right, that's it for now. We'll talk to you soon.
We will.
Have a beautiful every day.
Be well.